chapter 12, verses 32 through 40. And out of reverence for God's holy word, would you please stand for the reading? Hear now the word of God. Do not be afraid, little flock, for it is your Father's good pleasure to give you the kingdom. Sell your possessions and give alms. Make purses for yourselves that do not wear out, an unfailing treasure in heaven, where no thief comes near and no moth destroys. For where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. Be dressed for action and have your lamps lit. Be like those who are waiting for their master to return from the wedding banquet, so that they may open the door for him as soon as he comes and knocks. Blessed are those slaves whom the master finds alert when he comes. Truly I tell you, he will fasten his belt and have them sit down to eat, and he will come and serve them. If he comes during the middle of the night or near dawn and finds them so, blessed are those slaves. But know this, if the owner of the house had not known the hour that the thief would be coming, he would not have let the house be broken into. You also must be ready, for the Son of Man is coming at an unexpected hour. This is the word of God for us, the people of God. Thanks be to God. Please be seated.
Well, a lot of ways to preach this text. And I want to tell you that after I titled the sermon, I went back and looked at it and decided to preach it in a different direction. So the title in your bulletin has very little to do with what we're going to say this morning about this particular text. I like the part about be ready and stay ready and all those things, and we'll do that on another Sunday. Just remember, if you know, I took this from one of my colleagues, but not in the Methodist church. He's a Baptist, and he says it this way: if you ain't ready, better get ready, and if you is ready, better stay ready. So, amen. Now, let's move to where my heart was leading me and where I believe God was taking us for this morning. And that is where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. And I believe that that is true. I've watched people for a long time. Are you a people watcher? Love to watch people and see how they act and react to things. Another thing I really love is music. Do you like Bill's, the way Bill plays? He's taught me to not just appreciate classical music, but to love it. Where did they get the names for these things?
The composers.
So the piece that you just did, for offertory, the name of that is?
Elegy.
Elegy. And what do you suppose that means? And so he just named it that way. Yeah, okay. I'm going to start looking up the names because I want to learn how to identify those pieces and why they named them what they named them. If you get into more popular music like the Eagles, you can figure out why they name them that, right? Hotel California, you can check out, but you can never leave. You can figure that out. Even bluegrass. I love bluegrass. Any bluegrass fans here? A few, yeah, okay. I love bluegrass music. And contemporary Christian, I don't know if that's contemporary anymore. We've done contemporary Christian until it's got to be old. And now we call it something else. What do we call it now?
Modern.
Christian music, modern Christian music, and we'll keep that name till it gets old, and then we'll do something else. Like Josh Groban, you raise me up to more than I can be. Country music is one of my favorites, and I'm not afraid to tell you that. I dislike country music. I want to sit down with some country music composers. They can tell a whole story in 3 minutes, and I want them to teach me how to do that. But it's easy to see where they get their names, Bill. I don't have to ask. Why do you suppose they named it this? You want to hear a few names of some country music? They've all got trucks and mamas and trains and lost loves. And here's a few titles. How Can I Miss You If You Won't Go Away? I Changed Her Oil and She Changed My Life. I Keep Forgetting I Forgot About You. My wife ran off with my best friend, and I sure do miss him. Don't you love it? Velcro arms and Teflon heart. That kind of stands on its own. Okay, now listen carefully, because I have to enunciate these words for you. You can't have your Kate and Edith too. My John Deere was breaking your field while your dear John was breaking my heart. Don't you love them? I think they stay awake at night thinking of these things. But here's the one I want you to think about today. There goes my only possession. There goes my everything. That's sad. Jesus teaching the crowds. He's been to Mary and Martha's house. Then he retreated from there to go and pray and get away from the crowds. And then he began a teaching frenzy. He knew he was running out of time. And he was spending a good bit of time around the Sea of Galilee teaching and preaching, healing, preparing. Not planning, preparing. He had taught the crowds. He just got through teaching them about greed. And now he turns it up a notch or two, and he's not only teaching them, but warning them. But listen how he starts a warning to us. Do not be afraid, little flock. Don't be afraid. Be ready, but don't be afraid. Now, right after he tells them that, he says, sell all your possessions and give alms. Don't be afraid. We're still saying that all these 2,000 plus years later. Don't be afraid to tithe. Don't be afraid to give. You still have plenty. Don't be afraid. He goes on to tell them that the Father wants to give us the kingdom. Things that will be rusted out and used up is what we want. Possessions is what we want. God wants to give us the eternal treasures, and we want the latest deal on Shoppers Network. Is that what you call that thing? CVQ, CQ, VQVC, QVC. Okay. You see how much shopping I do. QVC, yep. So I decided that I would watch that a little bit and see what was it about, because I don't usually do that. And when I got there, they were selling Percy's. Had like DK, is that a purse? No, it's something else. Okay, see, I haven't carried a purse since Matthew, and he's 42, was a baby. I went straight from diaper bags to briefcases, and I have pockets. And everything I need to have with me, I have in my pockets. No purses. DK. Okay. So I decided then I'm going to look up and see what's the most expensive one of those you can buy, because I know my daughters-in-law would want one of those for Christmas, right? And I just won't even look at colors. I'll just look and see what's the most expensive, and I'll get that, and then I'll be a great mother-in-law. But it wasn't a DK. It was, and I may be saying this wrong, a Mate Crocodile Viking bag. And it was named for Jane Birkin. And you know that. She knows that. Oh, no, no. This one, the one that was named for her, this crocodile biking bag, is $120,000. That's sad. That is ridiculous. All she got to do is have pockets put in her clothes. And Jesus knew all those years ago that that purse would wear out. Make purses for yourselves that do not wear out, he said. An unfailing treasure in heaven. And it came to me, the old country saying, you can't make a silk purse out of a sow's ear. No matter what you do, no matter if it costs $120,000, it's still going to wear out. And if I had one that never wore out, I'd be so tired of it and could never buy another one. Who would want a purse that costs $120,000? Which led me to ask you the question, is your financial house in order? Well, it's not unless you've... Now, listen and hear me on this one. Your income has got to be greater than your outgo. My granddaughter Chandler cannot get hold to that conception. Your income has got to be greater than your outgo. If you're trying to lose weight, your income has got to be less than your outgo. But with financial matters, got to have more coming in than going out. And then that led me to ask, is your spiritual house in order? Is it dollar marks that you think make us rich? When I was in the operating room with Bill's dad, there was a senior partner at one time in the practice, Dr. Patey. I think I've told you this story before. He was a missionary in China. His wife had appendicitis while they were in China, and he laid her down on the kitchen table, and it was getting dark, and so the farmers around there lit their lanterns and came and held their lanterns up so he could do an appendectomy on his own wife under local anesthesia because there was nothing else. I love Dr. Patey. My boys thought he was a hero, and I did too. Well, he got word that his family was going to be evacuated because the Red Chinese were taking over in that particular political environment at that time. And so they could take 200 pounds with them when they left. They had a limit, 200 pounds. So they began to gather up the things and weigh them. And finally, when they got to the docks, and they were about to get on the ship to make their exit, or for his wife to make the exit with the children, the weight of the children counted. No, they said, you can take 200 pounds. Did you weigh the children? And in an instant, he would tell that story, and in an instant, he said, we knew what was important. We didn't even have to weigh them. We knew what was important. Several years ago, my mother had a friend who was dying, and I was there when the news came, and my mother said she collected bells and angels. Wonder what they'll do with all her bells and angels. So I said to my mother, do you think she was scared? And my mother said, no, I don't think she was scared. I think all those angels and bells had helped her not to be scared. But I do think she sort of hates to leave her grandchildren. Where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. Another fella worked hard and saved for retirement, stayed gone all the time, worked from daylight till way past dark, all to get to a place where he and his wife could retire together. And he had stockpiled, was pretty selfish, very frugal. And then his wife died, and he said to me, I'd give it all I'd give it all if I could just have my wife back. Where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. I'm often with people as they're about to leave this world, and I said to a lady one day, if you could have anything in the world, anything, you've only got a little bit of time left, anything in the world, what would you want? And I'll never forget her saying to me, I want to go to church one more time, if I could just go to church one more time. Now, I've seen a lot of churches with treasures, and where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. Some of the churches treasured their buildings. They didn't want the children to use them. They didn't want the children to mess them up. They didn't want sticky banisters when you walked up and down the stairs. And you know what? They got just exactly what they wanted. None of that. They locked the doors on that church about 2 years ago. And a for sale sign was put out front. So where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. Some churches treasure their cemeteries. I know of one in Fayette County. Cemetery goes all the way around the church. Front yard, backyard, side yards, all the way around the church. Got a great cemetery. Church is as dead as the yard is. Some churches treasure their money. They don't want to share it. They don't want to do missions. They don't want to send it out of the community. We'll take care of our own. And they do. And some churches treasure their sanctuary, and I hope we don't get to this point, even with a new one, when we renovate ourselves back in. The sanctuary just sucks the life out of the church instead of offering it life, because you can't do anything to muss it. It's got to be pristine all the time. Can't do anything to mess it up. I'm so glad Shamley's not like that. I truly am. You walk upstairs and your hand just locks down on a banister. And you know one of the kids has been by with candy out of my office. That's a good feeling. That's a really good feeling. Some churches have for their treasure their history, and they keep looking in the rearview mirror, and they want the church to say, just like it's always been, and it's so homogenized that there's no life in it, there's no difference in it, there's no new ideas in it. Just buckle your seatbelt and hang on. And you're not like that. I would ask you, where do you think Shamley's history comes from? It comes from innovative people and people who are not afraid to take risk and people who are saying, let's move ahead, and people who open the doors. And I'm so thankful for that. I've seen a lot of people treasure hunting in this world. Have you? Do you remember the movie, The Titanic? Now, I don't want to know the history of that. That's depressing to me. And they thought it was unsinkable, and I got all of that. But do you remember the movie? Remember the woman that got on with her daughter, and her daughter was very beautiful. You remember that? And she was determined that her daughter was going to marry this young man who was very, very wealthy. And so she took her on that ship, determined whether she loved him or not, she was going to marry him, because then mama would be set and daughter would be set and all would be well. Well, she didn't even like him. But he was afraid that she was going to say no, and so he offered her a gift. Pay attention to the name.
I don't pretend to know why. I intended to save this until the engagement gala next week. But I thought tonight.
Good gracious.
Perhaps as a reminder of my feelings for you.
Is it a
diamond? Yes. 56 carats to be exact. It was worn by Louis XVI. And they called it Le Coeur de la Mer. The heart of the ocean, yes.
The heart of the ocean.
It's over.
And there she is with this 56 carat diamond. Now, you know the story. She fell in love with the servant boy downstairs. He fell in love with her. She spent more time in the bowels of the ship than she did on the deck of the ship. And then it began to sink. They almost died 1,000 times. I was so tired when that movie was over. But they wound up with her on a piece of a board. You remember? And he was hanging on, but it wouldn't hold them both up. And so he got into the water and he froze to death there. Now, the Titanic was discovered, and so they looked this survivor, this woman, up. She's very old now, but they brought her back and she began to tell them the stories of the Titanic as it began to sink and go down. Watch what she does. The heart of the ocean. She had kept it all those years. She married. They lived very frugal lives. There never was much money, sometimes not quite enough money. And there she sat with the heart of the ocean in her hand. When she had the opportunity, she threw it back. 56 carat diamond. Where her treasure was, there her heart would be also. And the treasure for her wasn't a 56 carat diamond. The treasure was the love that she had found. Do you understand? It's a good question. Where's your treasure? Because wherever it is, there your heart will be. Maybe in a grudge that you've been holding on to and won't let go. Might be in a bank account. Could be in a job. Might be in a piece of property or a position you hold. Or in your own home. Maybe it's your home that's your treasure. Could be youth and appearance. Might be a $120,000 purse. Where is your treasure? What stands between you and the lost treasure of your relationship with Christ? Jesus was telling the crowds that day, and he's telling this congregation this day, where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. He's also trying to help you to understand that only God can provide for us the treasure that will not rust or rot or be stolen. I listened through all of this wedding stuff that was going on when someone was asked to say a word of grace, the blessing. And they looked around the room and looked around the room for someone who would stand up and say a word of thanks. One of the parties. Finally, they said, Lily Grace. She was the youngest. They were picking on her. And Lily looked at me and said, what can I say, me, Mommy? And I said, well, let's just say it together. I'll say it, and then you say it. And then maybe the people will say it. Come into my heart, Lord Jesus. Come into my heart today. Come into my heart, Lord Jesus. Come into my heart and stay. Because where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. Amen.